Blog So welcome to Labyrinth in the News.
Thank you.
And it's great to have you on air today. And this is kind of exciting. This is new for me. So I'm even though I thought I had gotten all the bugs out, you never can tell until you're live, I guess. And you're on the East Coast or in Central United
States? I'm in the Central region in Minnesota.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, my daughter just moved to Chicago. So, So, okay, let's get right in there. It's getting, I've wasted a little bit of time here. I apologize for that. Let's begin by telling our listeners sort of when and how Labyrinth came into your life.
Well, I personally have had a lifelong interest in labyrinths and mazes. Though as a child, it was mostly for fun and games, as most children use labyrinths. But it was in the late 1990s when I attended a workshop that offered the labyrinth as presented as a spiritual tool. It was using one of the large canvas labyrinths. And it was at that time that I became very interested in the labyrinth design in an entirely new way. It opened up a whole new journey for me, and I studied and researched and built my first labyrinth 2 weeks later, and I've been riding that labyrinth wave ever since.
Wow. And the first time that you went to that labyrinth event, what had you go, or was there something in your life that occurred, or what was it that had you go to this particular event in the first place?
Well, the event wasn't a labyrinth event. It was a church event that I was going to, and this was just one of the many workshop selections that they had available to those that were in attendance at this conference. It was an annual or a triennial conference of the church that I attended regularly. So, but that particular workshop interested me. At that time, my husband and I had purchased a 5-acre property here in Minnesota that had rolling meadows, and my husband would mow meandering paths through those meadows that we would use in a meditative sort of way. So when I saw the description for this labyrinth workshop, it talked about ancient designs, I told my husband, I'm going to bring back an actual pattern that you can mow. And little did I know what was in store for us. So it was that whole idea of a symbol, but then being able to walk in a design and use it as a prayer tool or a spiritual tool that was just very interesting and intriguing for me.
Oh, that's almost like, especially out in that part of the country, like the crop circles. that are all over the place. You know, that's what you were.
Sort of an image to it. Yes, indeed.
So now you are, many years later, the current president of the Labyrinth Society, TLS. And can you tell us a little bit, what is TLS, and when did you become involved with this organization?
Yes, I would be happy to. The Labyrinth Society is a not-for-profit, member-based international organization of labyrinth enthusiasts. Our members come from all over the globe, and because of their work with labyrinths worldwide, we've formed a very diverse and energetic community that comes together to celebrate and enjoy labyrinths in many ways and many forms. The organization has a purpose to educate and support people who are involved with or enjoy labyrinths. We are organized to inspire and empower one another in the work that we do, and also to inspire the imaginations of those that might be coming into a new understanding of labyrinths or sparked by that labyrinth symbol. Our mission, quite simply, is to support all those who create, maintain, and use labyrinths, and to serve the global community by providing education, networking, and opportunities to experience transformation.
Wow.
It's a rather broad mission statement, but it's really related, all related directly to the labyrinth as a symbol and those people who have come to that labyrinth and want to learn more and use it more and continue to work with that as a symbol.
And so you have members all over the world.
We do. It's an international organization. Absolutely.
And so, how long ago did TLS start?
Well, TLS had seeds of the organization planted several years before it actually formed as an organization by groups of people, you know, like our current members who were interested in the labyrinth, came to the labyrinth from different places, but would meet occasionally to share ideas. The organization formally began at a labyrinth network conference in 1997, where the attendees first sought to create a national nonprofit organization. And then TLS was officially formed a year later in November of 1998, and thereafter has hosted annual conference gatherings that include an annual business meeting that is necessary to operate under that not-for-profit organizational structure. So officially beginning in 1998, and we have had 10 annual conference gatherings since that time. I became involved in 2000. I missed the first annual conference in 1999, which was in Colorado, and I started attending in 2000.
And so when you started in the conference gathering, when you started attending the conference gatherings, how did your involvement grow, and what can you just maybe highlight some of your past experiences at some? I mean, are they very different now than they were when they started?
Well, I think in basic structure, they are pretty much the same. The annual gathering provides a place and a time for us to have our annual business meeting. But it moves, we host it in different locations around the country, so it has a different location and a different theme each year. It's a conference-style setting that spans several days. It's a time for the labyrinth enthusiasts and experts to gather from around the world to learn and share and celebrate the use of labyrinths. And it typically includes featured speakers, a large selection of workshops, and also some shopping marketing opportunities for labyrinth-related products. We offer a silent auction each year and lots of labyrinths to walk and experience. So the general kinds of things that you will find at a conference gathering are similar. But the theme and the speakers and those kinds of things, the location changes from year to year. It's really a unique opportunity to meet and network with people, other people who use and love labyrinths, and to learn new ways, new designs, and support the spread of labyrinths across the world. So it's quite an interesting event to attend. And I have personally really enjoyed that as one of the things that I, one thing I look forward to each year in going to. Since I started in 2000, I haven't missed a single one.
Well, honey, and, I'm listening to an online radio show right now. Can I call you back?
Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I muted the other person. I don't know who that is.
Okay.
So anyway, have you been one of the speaker, the main presenters, or have you done the workshops, and have you had that all different types of experiences at these conference captains?
Well, you know, I started out as a mere participant. Walking in with my eyes wide open to all that was around. It's often interesting to see how new people will come to the conference thinking, you know, they're the only one in their neighborhood that knows how to say the word labyrinth, and then they suddenly come to this annual event where over 100 people or 150 people show up, and they're all people that know and work with the labyrinth. So it's really a fun setting to be in. I attended as a participant in 2000. In 2000, I think by 2001, I was approached by one of the board members who knew I was from Minnesota. They hadn't had a gathering in Minnesota, and they were interested in seeing whether I would be willing to work on a local planning team and coordinate a gathering in our region, which I did. So shortly thereafter, I was invited onto the board of directors. And so step by step, my involvement has increased to the level it is now, where last year I was elected as the president of the organization. So when I attend the gathering this year, it will be in large part as the president to lead our annual meeting. But also, my involvement at the conferences has been as a workshop leader or presenter, and I have not been a featured speaker to answer that question, but I've been involved as a presenter of different kinds of things, whether it's chairing the entire conference to being a presenter at a workshop level.
And speaking of that, you're going to be doing a workshop with Kimberly Saward at this one too, aren't you?
Yes.
On Saturday
and
afternoon.
Right. We're doing what's called a post-gathering workshop, where the registration for the gathering this year runs from Thursday, Friday till noon on Saturday. And there are pre- and post-gathering events for people that want to expand that time together into a larger setting or format. And Kimberly and I are offering a workshop that has been very popular over the years. This is, I think, the fourth time we've been asked to present it. And it is on creating your own personal labyrinth. And it's a fun workshop that we're doing. It involves using the workshop or the labyrinth to gather colors, symbols, images that is important to you personally, and then with art materials and a 5-foot octagon canvas, each of the participants creates a walkable labyrinth for themselves that they can take home. So,
do the participants have to bring supplies with them?
No, all the art supplies are there, all the materials, stamps and stencils and paints and brushes, and everything is provided. No art experience is required. So really it's just coming and being able to, and willing to engage in that creative process to express oneself and then have this beautiful piece to bring home and use.
And what, how big is this labyrinth? I mean, you're saying, you're talking about a labyrinth that they can, what is it on? What is it made of?
Canvas. It's on canvas.
Canvas.
Same canvas that we make the big room size portable labyrinths on. But these are quite small, 5 foot in diameter. So you could use it on your living room floor without moving too much furniture around. Or you could even hang it on your wall if you'd like. But it is a small enough to fit in a small space, but large enough for a small three-circuit labyrinth design to be painted on it that could actually be walked.
Okay. And could you take that same design and put it out in your garden or transpose it or at other locations, right, around your house?
Absolutely, you could. Yes. In fact, in my yard, I have several of those three-circuit designs that are interpreted in different ways and a little bit larger spaces.
Okay. That's very cool. Now, how long a period is this workshop? What are the times?
In the afternoon, I think it's 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And it's enough time for people to complete their project all there. We have done it in as short as 90 minutes, but find that that's a little short. So we expand it into a post-gathering workshop so people have a little more time to work on their piece.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And so these conference gatherings have been, I went to one in Atlanta, and I think there was another one outside of Atlanta. I don't know if it was at the same location. And then there's been one in Minnesota, and I'm not really sure where the other ones have been. But this is the first time there's been one in the Pacific Northwest, correct?
It is, yes. And I'm really excited about a beautiful part of the country, and I'm so looking forward to being up there in that beautiful area. Yes, we've had them in California, in Massachusetts, in Massachusetts, and twice, like you say, twice down in the Atlanta area and up in Minnesota, Arkansas, and Colorado. So we've moved them all around. All around the country, but yes, this is the first time it's been up in the Northwest area, so we're really excited about that.
And so this is an opportunity, because I know from my involvement here in the Pacific Northwest, this is an opportunity for the local labyrinth community where this event is going to be held to get involved and to participate and to sort of give back to. Because I think labyrinth people are so, overall, they're so thrilled with their experiences that they really want to, and this is a way to do that. Have you found that to be the case?
Yes. In fact, that's one of the reasons that we intentionally moved the venue to different regions to add variety and to allow people in the different areas of the country to have those opportunities for involvement in this international event. And that involvement might be in the form of walking or working on a local planning committee or simply by being able to attend at a place that's more easy or more close in proximity to their home. So we try to get it there so that people who are that are new to labyrinths are able to attend without the travel expense and time to move to a different location in the country. So We try to really tap into the local regional audience to entice some of that interest in what we're doing and get people excited about labyrinths in a bigger way.
Well, that's okay. So what I'm hearing is that this conference gathering is something that even a neophyte or a non-labyrinth person would enjoy. I mean, there's enough variety with all the different workshops. And you said there's post-gathering workshops. Are there pre-gathering workshops as well?
There are. And absolutely anyone someone who even has the slightest hint of wonder about what a labyrinth is can find something of interest and delight at these gatherings. Some people attend who've never walked a labyrinth before in their lives, and they have their first labyrinth walking experience there where over 100 others are joining. And because we're a global society, there are people from around the world, and a wide variety of expertise is represented in the attendees, from those that are very new to labyrinths to those who've worked or studied with labyrinths for decades. So there you'll find artists, and therapists, and teachers, and healthcare providers, labyrinth makers and builders, all people from all that come to labyrinths or use labyrinths in all kinds of different settings. And so the gathering offers this one time, one place where someone who's new to the labyrinth can sit down and have coffee or a meal and conversation with a labyrinth expert from across the globe. So it's very unique in that way. And we're sort of like a family. It's very informal, and everyone comes to the gathering as a labyrinth enthusiast, period. So it's just simply inspiring.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Lisa. I think we have one person here who has been very patiently waiting to say something. I'm going to bring her in. Hello, caller. Are you on the air? You're on the air, actually. Are you there? Oh, the phone number's there. Hello? Are you there? You want to speak to Lisa? Well, she was there before.
Okay. Either technology or a long wait. Maybe I talked too long.
No. I think that she is live, and I think I hear her in the background.
Okay.
Would you like to say anything to Lisa? Okay, I'm going to mute her then.
Okay.
Well, this has been a wonderful session, Lisa, and I thank you so much for talking with me today. And I think whoever was listening, I think there were a lot of people listening, some people listening, although they did not want to chime in or ask any questions. At least they I think they found out a lot about labyrinths in this session. And I am going to be having the main presenters on to speak in the next couple of weeks. As you said, there are we have across the globe, we have Jim Buchanan from Scotland coming and Ronald Escoval from Costa Rica, who will be two of the main presenters. We're very excited about that. It's wonderful to have that kind of international flavor and input from people. So. Thank you for kicking off this the Labyrinths in the News. And
thank you for providing this wonderful opportunity for reaching out in a new way to people who may be inquiring or wanting to know a little bit more. I look forward to hearing your other speakers give us a flavor of what they might be bringing to our gathering this year. It's going to be great fun.
Well, I think this is the way of the future. This is, you know, we're in the Aquarian millennium, and it's all about waves and sound waves and light waves and energy waves. And hey, you know, you got to get on the wavelength here. So this is a way to do that. And I'm thrilled to be offering this. And I look forward to continuing this long after the conference is over with. And because there's a lot of labyrinth people out there, so.
Yeah. Now, do your listeners know how to register for the gathering, how to get more information?
Well, I'm going to tell them right now, as a matter of fact. But I will sign off with you, Lisa, and then do my little ending spiel. And thank you so much for coming and joining with us today and joining us today and giving us all this information. It's wonderful. And I will let them know.
All right.
And I will let them know. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Okay, sorry everybody, we're running out of time. To learn more about the Labyrinth Society, go to www.labyrinthsociety.org. And to learn more about Lisa's work with Labyrinth, go to www.pathsofpeace.com. That's PathsofPeace.com. You've been listening to Labyrinth in the News in the live category. In the live category on blogtalkradio.com with your hosts, Christiana and Anaya. Stay tuned for next Monday's show at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, Pacific Daylight Time, when my guests will be Jim Buchanan, a Scottish landscape architect and labyrinth designer, and one of the featured presenters at the TLS Gathering in Troutdale, Oregon, October 8th through the 10th. Have a blessed week in Lakesh.